I'm going to read from two verses. I'm going to steal Brother Uriah's because it goes right along with what I want to talk about. Ephesians 3:20, and then I'll jump into Galatians 2:20. But Ephesians 3:20 reads again, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. There is a power that works within you. If you have the Holy Ghost, there is a power, whether you understand it or not, there is a power that you are able to tap into. The question that we're going to answer today is whether you use it or not. Now, the second verse is in Galatians 2 and 20, which reads, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who is Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me." If you are just excited by the fact that God can reside in you, let's worship together and say, "In the name of Jesus, God, we're so thankful for everything that you can do. God, I thank you for the Spirit that you poured out so that people like me and people like you can experience God on the inside. In Jesus' name, we worship you. Thank you, God." And as you sit down, high five a few people around you. As the announcement video stated, we have fundraisers for our youth department. And it's really important that I mention this as well, because every 2 years, it happens every 2 years, there's an incredibly large conference for apostolic young people and anybody who wants to join, but it's called North American Youth Congress. And it's happening this summer in July, and we're taking a group with us, and we're taking, you know, between 50 to 60 people with us. But the cost is high. It's about $400 a person. And so we have fundraisers in our church so that you can help support us, and you don't have to just give us money. If you want to, you can just give us money. But we want to make sure that we do something as well in return. And so this month we have photo shoots, and this month we have a Catan tournament, and there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby so you can do that. But next month, if you just pay attention, there's going to be a couple more, such as our during service car wash and detail services, which means you come in, you drop your car off, and at the end of service, your car is brand new, right? And stuff like that, and it's going to be a good time. So just keep a lookout for that. Support our kids. Don't make them pay $400 a pop. But to jump into today's message, I want to just preface this message by saying that this has the intended audience. This message has an intended audience. And it talks to two types of people here. So we have one form of person who's heard about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, but has never experienced the infilling of the Spirit of God inside of their lives. And then the other half of the intended audience is for people who have experienced what it means to be filled by God, filled by His Spirit, experienced the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking in tongues, but yet still combats their flesh. And you live with the identity crisis of being called a child of God, yet still living under the rule of flesh in your life. You see, the basis of the message answers an incredibly important question. What do I get when I receive the Holy Ghost? What do I get? You see, the Holy Ghost is a manifest form of Lord Jesus who takes on in order to minister, to save, to heal, to work in your life. And now in today's age, to fill your life and change you from the inside out. In fact, today's message I've entitled "Cut Out the Middleman." And we see in Scripture referencing the Holy Ghost. And in any apostolic church, you'll hear this reference to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And you may wonder, well, what do I actually get with this thing? And in an apostolic church, the Holy Ghost is often reference with the initial sign of speaking in tongues or a new heavenly language. But if that's all that you know about the Holy Ghost, then the church has done a poor job at explaining what you actually get. Because if all it is, you know, the gift of speaking in tongues, there must be more than that. There must be more than that. And in Acts 1 and 8, it goes on and it says, "But ye shall receive power." That's right. Some of y'all already know. You receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Acts 2:38, answering the question, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter answered unto them and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost. So with the Holy Ghost comes salvation, but also power. Now, what type of power? Do I become physically stronger? What actually happens? Do people just put on muscle mass when they receive the Holy Ghost? No, there is a power, though. And what is that power? You see, salvation from where your sin would lead you without God, and power over what? Power over sin. Power over sin. In fact, without the Holy Ghost, you don't have power over sin, which means you can add boundaries in your life. You can become more disciplined. The rule and the power of sin is still there. And in the context of this message, what you get with the Holy Ghost is the power to change your life, the ability to change. You see, change can happen without the Holy Ghost, but the question is, what kind of change do we get with the Holy Ghost? You see, people resist change all the time. Change is difficult. Change is hard. It's not easy, especially when change is forced into your life. That's a hard place to be because we're comfortable people. We like comfort. But change is inevitable. It's a part of the human experience, change. And if you remember as a preteen waking up in the mornings while going through puberty, and you're like, man, my arms just hurt. I didn't do anything. They just hurt. My legs hurt. And I don't understand why. It's because you're growing. You're developing. You're going to become a bigger person physically, right? That's what puberty does. That's what growing up does. And if you'd ask a preteen, hey, if I give you the option, no more pain, would you take it? Maybe some people would say, yes, I don't want to deal with this pain anymore. Without understanding that the outcome of no longer feeling the pain also means no longer growing. And so for us as Christians, we must understand that though it might feel uncomfortable, growth is always worth it, and change in God is always worth it. In your journey with God, change is a huge component to this walk. You see, change allows us to experience things that we couldn't experience in the past. It allows us to reach places we weren't able to reach in the past. It allows you to operate in a place that you weren't able to operate previously. But with change also comes some pain. You see, when you want to see something far away, because the fact is, this church is in a state of change. As a congregation, we're changing. Every single week, we're changing. But even individually in your life, you are also changing. One of the hardest things to do is to be able to see what God is bringing you towards. Can you see the difference that God wants in your life? And you see, when you try to see something that's far away, you'll strain your neck or you're standing on your tippy toes and you'll squint your eyes just to see what's ahead of you. The question is, are we willing just to see what God has in store for us? God wants to change something in our lives. You see, the modern day church has coined and adopted a common phrase, and it is a good phrase, but it's just an incomplete phrase. And that phrase says, come as you are. The doors are wide open. We're the church. Come as you are. No matter what your background is, no matter what your addictions are, no matter what your lifestyle choices are, no matter how you look, no matter how you dress, no matter what you've ever done in your life, we don't care. Come as you are. That's what we love you. And we'll always love you no matter how you come into the house of God. Come as you are. Now, the issue with just this phrase in and of itself is that it's an incomplete phrase. There is more to this phrase, because if that's all you hear, then that's all you assume. I can just come as I am, no problem. But the intended purpose of the Spirit of God at work is not just for people to come as they are. It's for people to come as they are and walk out differently. The purpose of God in your life is not for you to stay the same exact way. It's so that you can leave completely different in your life and in your walk with God. You see, this is such an easy thing for us to spot in a new time guest. If you're a first time or second time guest, thank you so much for joining us. I know it is not easy joining a first church or a new church, I should say, but we tried our best to make it accommodating for you. But it's easy to see change and growth in a first or second time guest. Why? Because they're doing something different. They're getting closer to God. That's an easy change to spot. What gets a little bit harder is when you start looking at the saint. It gets harder when I look at myself and I say, hey, I've been a part of a church for over 30 years. The question is, am I the same person that I was last week than I am today? Have I grown? Have you grown? Or are you stagnant in your walk with God? If God is always ready to change your life, have you been changed in the last week? If the availability of change is right in front of you, the question is, have you taken it for yourself? We must ask ourselves, am I the same? Or has God changed me? Have I allowed him to change my life? And I understand that that's a difficult question to ask. It should be convicting because we understand that change takes time. Change is painful and change is a process. But change is important as well. It's really important. You see, change is inevitable as you grow with God, as you walk with him. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, completely different by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, I'm not the same person I was when I first met God. It's been about a decade since I truly gave my life to God, but I'm not the same person since I first met God. And I'm glad about it. You see, I don't think the same way anymore. I don't talk the same way. I don't look the same way. I don't dress the same way. I don't speak the same way. And guess what? I don't want to either. I am glad about the things that God has changed inside of my life. And not just what I've decided not to do. God changed my desire for things in my life. And there are people all across this room that can testify to the change from the inside that God can do in somebody's life. You see, I genuinely don't have a heart for the things of my past. And I want to talk about the three levels of changes that we can go through, at least in our walk with God. And I want to preface this next teaching with a simple statement that if anybody is walking towards God and you're changing and you're growing in your walk with God, no matter what level of change you're in, it's a healthy place to be. I believe that God is happy with anybody who's growing in their walk with him, no matter at what pace. If you're growing, you're good. Can I just say that? All right. Now, the first level of change that I'm going to be talking about is the level I call compliance. This is a compliant level of change. Compliance takes place in somebody's life out of a need or a necessity. If somebody forces you or tells you need to do this, you are compliant to that change. It does not come from something that you want to do. It comes from a place of necessity in your life. Now, this level of change isn't necessarily bad. It's just the weakest form of change. You see, when I was in high school, I was in chemistry class, and I hated chemistry class. Hated it. It was just pure memorization. I did not like it. But near the end of the semester, my teacher sat me down and said, hey, you're going to fail chemistry. You have the option. There's just enough time left in the rest of this semester. You can either start studying and pass, or you can go to summer school. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to change my life and my study habits so I can pass chemistry, or am I going to suffer through summer school? And I decided to change my life, not because I love chemistry. I still hated it. Not because I wanted to change. I'd rather not study. But I changed because I was forced into it. I needed to change. You see, in the same vein, when you go back, 5 years in 2020, how many people actually wanted to wear a mask? But we were compliant to what was happening in culture and in that season of our world. And so compliance isn't a strong level of change. It's not a strong inspiration for anybody to change because you can be compliant in your action, but in your heart, where are you at? And in the Old Testament law encouraged a change in people from a compliance level of change. Do not covet or else you'll go to hell. Partake in the feast of unleavened bread or you and your family are cut off from Israel forever. Sacrifice a clean animal on behalf of your sin or else you'll never be forgiven. Like these are laws and people obeyed out of the fear of what would happen if they didn't. And people obeyed because it was written down and some people might have a heart for God and that's good. But the majority of people, the reason why the laws of the Old Testament didn't work, it wasn't complete in and of itself, is because a compliance level of change is never good enough, at least not in the long run. You see, parents will use compliance level of changes in their children to change behavior. And I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. We do it all the time. But we all understand that a deeper form of change is when the child truly understands why they should or shouldn't do it. And they make a decision on, I want to be a different person because of what I understand. You see, if your motivation to change your life and do this or do that or don't sin here and don't touch that is just because of a fear-based level of motivation, you are still under a compliance level of change. If your motivation is because if you don't do something, you're going to lose out with good graces with God, you are compliant in your walk. Now I want to talk about the next step for you, the next level up of that change, or the reason for change, the next level, or the next state or source of change I've called identification. In the 1990s, there was a popular ad for Gatorade that simply said these three words: "Be like Mike." And what this ad represented was, hey, if you want to be like Michael Jordan, you drink Gatorade. If you drink Gatorade, you'll be like Mike. And this was a huge ad. It exploded in the 1990s because they took advantage of every single child's dream to be the greatest basketball player of all time, like Michael Jordan. And so they said, hey, drink Gatorade, be like Mike. And it was incredible. It exploded because why? People already looked up to Michael Jordan. And in the same way, there are people in your life that you've looked up to throughout your life. It might have been a parent. It might have been a friend. It might have been an older sibling. It might have been a teacher. I don't know. It might have been an athlete or a singer or whatever. But there are idols that we have in our lives that people that we want to replicate, to be like. And so we'll change our lives to be like somebody. And in the same vein in Christianity, we want to be like Christ. We want to change our lives to form into the structure of who Jesus was and how he lived while he was on earth. And this is important and is critical. In fact, there was a popular saying in the 90s or 2000s that said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And if you're part of that, you would have a rubber wristband that says WWJD. And whenever you're faced with a difficult decision, the question is, what would Jesus do right now? And you'd ask yourself and you'd make your decision based off of who Jesus is. And this is an identification level of change. Why? Because we identify with somebody that we want to be like. Now, this is really powerful and it can change a lot of lives, and it does change lives, but let's keep something in order as well. Every other major religion on the planet recognizes Jesus as an incredible person, as an incredible teacher, as somebody who lived a great life, but they don't always internalize who he was. In fact, only in Christianity do we understand that Jesus was God, died for our sins so that we can be saved through him. Just because you look up to God and his teaching, just because you look up to Jesus and his teachings and the way he lived his life, does not mean you're saved. You just identify with who he is. Now, the great flaw with this source of change stems from the understanding that there is a large gap or disparity between who you are and the standard by which you're trying to live your life. There are a lot of 90s kids who, when they actually picked up the basketball, they realized, I'll never be like Mike. And that's a hard weight. That's a big pill to swallow. It's like, man, I want to be the greatest, but clearly there's something wrong. Like, there's something wrong here. I don't understand what it is. And so we're confronted when we even compare ourselves to Jesus, who is a far greater example of a great man to live by and a great God to live by than Michael Jordan. Not even close. And so we're confronted by the weight of difference when we compare ourselves to somebody like Jesus. And many people reach this source of change and they don't move on. But I want to talk about the next level of change in your life and the next level of a source of change in your life. You see, you can be spirit-filled, but not spirit-led. That is possible. There are plenty of people who have the Holy Ghost, but don't use it. So let's talk about that. The next level of change in somebody's life is an internalized change. Internalized change is the most powerful source of change because other than the other two forms, whether it's by compliance to a situation or a law, or identification, which is dependent on an external source to inspire change, the internalized change starts from within. It is now not something that you're looking towards. It's something that you have become. You change because it's now who you are. When I ask somebody, hey, why don't you talk the way you used to talk? Somebody can answer, well, I don't talk the way I used to talk because I don't want to go to hell. If I ask somebody else, hey, why don't you talk the way you talked before? They might say, well, I don't talk that way because I want to be like Jesus. And I can ask the third person who's internalized the teachings of God and internalized the Spirit of God. And I say, hey, why don't you talk the way you used to talk? Why don't you live the way you used to live? And what they'll say is, that's not who I am. I'm a completely different person. You're not even talking to the same person. I might look the same, but I'm completely different because of the power of the Holy Ghost within my life. You see, to grasp what an internalized source of change actually means, I'm going to reference the Bible in a few verses here. But it's so important for us to understand that though God provided the Ten Commandments written on stone, and though God came down in flesh as Jesus to be an example for how we ought to live our lives, God also sent His Spirit to fill us and change us from the inside. Matthew 5 and 17 says, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them. They are complete. When are they complete? They are complete with the Holy Ghost. Why? 2 Corinthians reads, clearly you're an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone anymore, but tablets of flesh in your heart. No longer external, now internal. This is a verse that speaks on the progression on the source or reason why somebody changes. It's no longer something you're looking to. Now it's something you're drawing from. That's why we do what we do. You see, God doesn't want our lives to be changed and molded because of an external force, because of something outside of us. But that's why He provided the Holy Ghost, so that you can be led from the inside out. It's really hard to change your life when all you know is I don't necessarily want to be different, but there's a force outside of me forcing me to comply to these changes. Versus when somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost and they say, I don't even want that anymore. Nobody has to force me to do anything. I don't need boundaries in my life. I'm gonna walk all the way over here. I don't need somebody to tell me don't do that. I'm on the other side of the road anyway. There's a difference between somebody who says, hey, I want to know as close as I can get to the rules without crossing over, versus somebody saying, I'm not even walking in that way anymore. It's just not who I am. I'm going to be referencing that first verse, Galatians 2:20. And if you can just keep this passage on the screen behind me, because I'm going to be coming back to it. But I'm going to read this one more time. And it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, Paul is stating here that he died along Jesus on Calvary. When Jesus died, Paul is saying, hey, I identified with that crucifixion, the death and burial and resurrection. And therefore, when Jesus died, so did I. What happened in that day? What happened in that moment? What happened in this realization when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ? He's saying that there is a recognition that there is no longer Paul alive anymore, but the life that is inside the body of Paul is now Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And he's saying that he understands that even though the body is moving and breathing and it might look the same, but he's saying that the life inside of me is completely different. We must understand that, completely different. You see, you and I repent and we turn from our wicked ways and we die to ourselves. In fact, Paul says that we die daily. This is a daily decision to turn from our flesh. And he says, when we deny ourselves, we die to ourselves. And so spiritually, how can there be life when there's death? How can there be life when something died? Well, like I explained, the Spirit of God now becomes the source of life in that body, because the old man died. The new man is born, transformed by God. You see, if I repent of my ways and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, in that moment, I'm filled with new life. And now, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the power over sin. You have power over sin. You see, Galatians 2 explains that no longer am I alive in Christ, but no longer am I alive, but Christ who lives in me is my life. Which means for you and I, right now, If you've got the Holy Ghost, it is no longer you standing, sitting, walking, breathing. Now you are the vessel by which the Holy Ghost operates. The intended purpose of the Holy Ghost is to live through you now. To live through you. You are the vessel by which God can operate on this earth. I am the broken vessel, and God has poured out through me. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost no longer is it a battle between myself and sin. You see, before I received the Holy Ghost, it was always a battle between me and sin. Standing next to each other, trying to battle it out, duke it out. And I might even reference and say, God, I need your help. I need your support. I need you. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you have now the option. You have the ability to say, hey, I've got sin coming in on my left side and I've got God on my right side. The question is, do you want to stand in the middle or do you want to step back and say, hey, let me just introduce my sin to the God that's within me. It's not my battle anymore. I'm done fighting it. I'm done fighting this. This is God's battle now. But the problem is, like I said, you can be spirit-filled and not spirit-led, which means there are people who have the Holy Ghost within them, but they don't operate in it. You've got it. You just don't use it. You see, how does prayer change? Prayer changes when you start saying, God, look at my life and the situations. Look at how inadequate I am. Look at my weaknesses. God, replace my weaknesses. Fill up the voids of my life. Versus when you say, wow, look at the situation I'm in. God, look at where I am right now. But hey, instead of just filling my weaknesses in, I don't need to do that anymore. I can just expose the problem I'm looking at with the God that's in me. So instead of saying, hey, look at my weaknesses, instead you begin to exalt God. Say, God, look how great you are. Look how powerful you are. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Well, there's no fear with God in me. What can I do with God in me? This is the power of the Holy Ghost. And instead of giving God the list of needs, we begin to brag on how good he is. You see, situations change when you stop coming to God with a list of everything that you're inadequate with, but instead you just begin to worship him for who he is. You just begin to exalt his name, and the problems just seem to fizzle out with that. You just begin to worship him and lift up his name. And I want to go back to this verse again, and it says, the second half of this verse, it says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, people in this room will say, yes, I have faith in Jesus and who he was and what he did. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, I'm living by the faith of Jesus. He doesn't have faith in Jesus. He has the faith of Jesus. You see, by myself, my faith is weak. Have a bad day, my faith is weak. But he's saying, I'm not living by Paul's faith anymore in who Jesus was. I have the literal faith of Jesus within my body. That's what Paul is saying he has. That's the power on which Paul is living in and working with. So what is this faith? It's the same faith that said, Lazarus, get out and walk again. It's the same faith that said, hey, come over here. Let me heal those eyes. Let me heal the limbs. It's the same exact faith that's in you today. You can cast out depression, lust, suicide. What are you facing? It's not big enough for the God that's inside of you. The music team can come. What we need to do is step aside and let the Holy Ghost operate in our lives. We've been the middleman for too long. Some of you have been fighting the battles by yourself for far too long. But God is itching for you to get out the way so he can step in and change your life. What if the greatest forms of change takes place not when you do more, but when you release more? When you say, it's not my fight, it's your fight. I'm just the vessel. I'm the instrument of the testimony of who God is. God, you can use me, but it's not me who's fighting. I'm just the vessel. If you would stand in this place, we're going to pray right now. Because I feel like God is trying to change somebody's perspective on what it actually means to fight. What it actually means to battle. Is it your fight or have you given it to God? It is time for somebody to release what you're struggling with and saying, you know what? Depression, I've been dealing with you for a very long time. But what I haven't done in this long fight, I haven't introduced you to somebody yet. But in my spirit, I'm going to introduce you to the God that resides within me. Because I don't want to deal with you anymore. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost work through you. And you just begin to exclaim and you begin to uplift the name of Jesus right now. It's not God, fill the void. Just saying, God, there is no void with you. God, you are perfect in all of your ways. Majestic. My words can't even exclaim how good you are. Let me just worship you in the midst of the chaos I'm living in. And in the worship, the Spirit of God will begin to change the situation. And it might not change the external situation, but it'll change your perspective in the middle of it. Wherever you are right now, I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands. And if you want to, you can come down to the front. But let's just begin to engage with the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you've got the Holy Ghost, it's time to let it out. How long have you locked it up in your body for too long? It's time to release some things in the Holy Ghost. It's time to release and let God begin to operate inside of your life. In the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you to touch this church right now, wherever they are, wherever we are, whatever situation that somebody might find themselves in. I believe that you have the power to not just change, you have the power to transform. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for transformation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let out your worship. Let the heavens hear like a sweet incense. Let God hear your praise right now in the name of Jesus.